They weave their way through the tangled mass of ships and into the primary airlock at the back of the berthing deck. Like the hangar itself, the chamber was equipped with motion-sensitive lights that remained fully functional. So when Ben secured the hangar hatch behind them, the two Skywalkers patiently waited for an automatic valve to open and equalize pressure with the station interior. They were still waiting 2 minutes later when the motion-sensitive lights switched off. Ben's voice came over the helmet speakers.
Great. Maybe we should have started on the repairs.
His tone was joking, but with a nervous edge.
And waited until they sent someone to fetch us. Something,
Luke corrected. He raised an arm, and the lights reactivated. In contrast with the hangar illumination, which had been tinted heavily toward the blue end of the spectrum, the light in the airlock had a distinctly green cast to it.
Or maybe we should just equalize pressure ourselves.
Luke reached over to the side of the chamber and pushed down on a lever, which he assumed to be the handle of a manual standby pump. A sharp clunk shook the entire airlock, and the ceiling slid aside and left them staring up into a cavernous darkness above. Ben's hand dropped to the lightsaber hanging on his belt.
What's that?
The door, I think.
Luke extended his awareness through the opening. When he did not sense any danger, he force-leapt up into the darkness and landed adjacent to the hole. Almost instantly, dim green light began to pour from a nearby wall, illuminating a short length of squat-wide corridor. Ben arrived a moment later, still standing on the airlock floor, as it rose into the hole through which Luke had just jumped.
Do you get the feeling someone's making this easy for us?
Ben asked.
Either that or the equipment is just that reliable,
Luke said.
I don't know which worries me more.
The equipment, definitely,
Ben said over the suit comm.
This place has the same external design as Centerpoint Station, remember? That can't be coincidence.
Probably not,
Luke admitted.
But this station can't be as dangerous. It's sitting between two black holes, and it would be pretty hard to target anything from in here. We can't even get navigation readings.
Yeah, we can't,
Ben agreed.
But we're not the ones who built it.
Luke frowned at the thought that another weapon similar to Centerpoint Station might exist in the galaxy. Fortunately, this one was much smaller, which meant it probably did not share the same function. At least, that was what he hoped it meant. Luke checked his external readouts and was not surprised to discover he and Ben remained in a hard vacuum. He motioned Ben to the other side of the corridor.
And on that cheery note,
they started toward the interior of the station, studying their environs as they walked. No more than 2 meters high, but 3 times as wide, the corridor appeared to have been designed to move a lot of traffic quickly, an impression reinforced by 2 metal bands running along the floor, which might have been a guide ribbon for some sort of robotic hover cart. The walls and ceiling were made of a translucent composite that did not quite conceal the network of fibers, tubes, and ducts running behind them. After the Skywalkers had traveled 10 meters, the wall behind them fell dark, and a pale green glow began to pour from the next section. As Luke and Ben continued deeper into the station, they began to come across detritus of all kinds. Vac suit helmets, an ammonia breather's air tank, blaster rifles, flechette launchers, and 6 single-wheeled carts with round bellies and gel-padded kneeling benches. Each time a new section of wall illuminated, the light grew more anemic, and soon the hue was more yellow than green.
This place is starting to dark me out,
Ben said, stopping beside a half-inflated vac suit.
Why can't they just pick a color?
Good question,
Luke said. He was not happy to see Ben reacting to his feelings instead of focusing on the problem.
Maybe the colors are supposed to tell you where you are. You have a guess?
Yeah, maybe.
Ben used his boot toe to flip the vac suit onto its back and shone his wrist lamp into the helmet's faceplate, revealing a visage so shriveled and gray it might have been Hodin or human.
The lights could be a warning system, you know? Like, blue means safe, green means danger, yellow means big trouble.
Luke felt only a faint tingle of danger himself, but that didn't mean Ben's theory was wrong, especially considering the body they had just found. He activated the status display inside his faceplate and found all radiation levels well within the normal range.
Ben, are you sensing something that worries you?
You mean aside from that strange presence in the central sphere?
Ben asked.
Right. And besides the fact that we're poking around a ghost station with no way to contact anyone? Yes, aside from that. And that somebody really old, powerful, and mysterious obviously went to a lot of trouble to keep this place hidden from the likes of us? And that too.
Ben shrugged and shook his helmet.
Then no, I'm all systems ready.
He stepped over the body and continued up the corridor.
Let's keep moving.